Tom Borelli is a PhD molecular biologist turned political activist and a Newsmax contributor. Deneen Borelli is the author of Blacklash and a Fox News contributor. They're the Borellis, exposing government corruption and championing freedom, giving you the truth in black and white. This is Reigniting Liberty.
Hey folks, thanks for checking out Reigniting Liberty. I'm Deneen Borelli and Dr. Tom Borelli is in the house bringing you the truth in black and white. And we have a great guest joining the show today. It's New York Representative Claudia Tenney. She represents the 22nd District of New York, and she is also a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Representative, welcome to the show.
Great to be on, finally. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you. And those gremlins, the technical difficulty, how dare they?
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate it. We know you're very busy. But we want to talk to you about a couple of things, especially your recent trip to Taiwan. If you could just give us a little insight on that. What did you learn?
Well, it was a very, obviously, very interesting trip. It's controversial. I was there in 2018 when it was less controversial. President Trump was in office and we were projecting strength from the United States. Now we're in a position where the Chinese feel emboldened because when we're weak, it's provocative to our enemies like China. And obviously, after witnessing the debacle in Afghanistan, seeing the way that Ukraine has been handled, I think the Chinese feel like now it's time to maybe fully take advantage of the issue in Taiwan, which was actually created by the Taiwan Relations Act of 1979. And the United States has always had what they call a strategic ambiguity type of view towards Taiwan. I say in quotes, a one China policy, but now China is starting to threaten. Nancy Pelosi famously decided to go to Taiwan about a month or so ago, and the Chinese threatened to shoot her plane down, which is completely irresponsible behavior. So a number of delegations have gone. I think we're the fifth of congressional members to show in a bipartisan way, unlike Nancy Pelosi's trip, ours was bipartisan, led by Stephanie Murphy of Florida, to show that we support Taiwan. We show the democratic principles and the vibrant democracy that they have, and to show that their technology is important and their investment now that they're planning in the United States is strong, and that we will live up to our bargain in the Taiwan Relations Act that says we will support them even if they need to defend themselves and potentially against China, which is showing more and more aggression, doing military exercises and a lot of military testing in the strait between Taiwan and China, and putting threats on China, on Taiwan. So it was a good trip. President Tsai, gave us her full support and said that she wants to continue with democracy and democratic principles. She famously supported Hong Kong against China's attempts to crack down on their independence, or at least their support of democracy. And so, Taiwan would like to continue on the course they're on. Of course, it's important to note that 70% or more of the real high-tech semiconductors that we rely on across the United States and in the world are produced in Taiwan. So they're critically important to our supply chains, to our technology. And that was one of the reasons we wanted to go and just show strength and show that we support them. And also to sort of chart a new course and think that maybe we should start looking at strategic clarity instead of ambiguity when it comes to enemies like China, who are flexing their muscle in this region of the world.
Representative Tenney, we often hear about congressional delegations going, to different countries around the world. Could you just give us a brief idea of what kind of an itinerary you had while you were there? And were the government officials there, were they really receptive to you being there, or were they hesitant because of China strong-arming the country?
Well, interesting, some congressional delegations are very intense and serious, as this one was. We started in South Korea, an ally of the United States, very important, again, another vibrant democracy with a great technology and great interchange between the United States. Of course, we continue to like to see a balance of trade, as we would like to see with Taiwan. We were received very warmly in South Korea as well as Taiwan. They weren't hesitant at all. They embraced us. They did not care about the threats that we received. when we returned home from Taiwan from the Chinese embassy, which each one of the congressional members received at our offices. That was how we were greeted home. But that should not deter us from continuing to try to support and promote democracies around the world. We also visited Mongolia, which hasn't received a lot of love from congressional delegations. Another example of a country trying to emerge from the former Soviet Union in a democratic way, sandwiched between China and the former Soviet Union, Russia, and also Kazakhstan on the other side. So they really would like to continue to be an ally of the United States. So international relations are very important. I know sometimes Americans, don't really realize how interconnected we are with the rest of the world. And we need to focus on our problems here, but we also cannot be isolationists. We have to actually support other nations around the world. And when the United States is projecting strength, when we're economically strong, particularly, and we have strong trading partners, you see a world that has more peace and more prosperity. When the United States is weak and our economic conditions are weak, you see a world in chaos. And that's what we're seeing. Threats of invasions, whether it's China, the unprovoked invasion of Ukraine by Putin, a lot of unrest going on now in the Balkans and with Turkey and Erdogan and other areas. If we were strong and globally, if we were economically strong, I don't think you'd see the kind of emboldening activities that our weakness creates around the world.
No, you're so right. And thank you for hitting all those buttons, because Tom and I, we discuss this on a regular basis. We do have weakness in Washington, D.C., sadly, with the White House on down. We do thank you for all you do and for all your efforts. But things have happened so fast in such a short period of time, from international to right here in our backyards. I want to get into immigration, for example. Our poorest border. What are your thoughts on the red state governors, DeSantis and the one from Arizona, Governor Abbott? Your thoughts on how they are sending buses to the blue cities, blue states, because they're supposed to be sanctuary cities, right?
Well, the crocodile tears coming from some of these deep blue states that are sanctuary states and sanctuary cities, when Texas and Arizona and our southern border, which is, it's really an impeachable offense what Biden is allowing to happen down there. And then for our vice president to turn and say, are the borders secure? And only to see interviews with people that are coming across the border and said, no, we just walked across. You know, we're being urged to come across. And it's really a show of a complete lack of respect for the taxpayers and a lack of respect for people who are looking to come to this country legally, and a lack of respect for the rule of law, which is critically important. And so when you hear these crocodile tears coming from, oh dear, God forbid, Governor DeSantis send these 50 immigrants, you know, it took 50 immigrants from Venezuela to just shut down Martha's Vineyard, you know, an elite enclave where actually President Obama has his home, $15 million plus dollar home. And yet there's no concern about Texas and Arizona and the rest of the taxpayers and all of us everywhere who are trying to, at least have a safe, secure border. And it's not just illegal immigration. It is fentanyl, which is killing our children all across this country and young adults. It is the human trafficking. I've been to the border. I've witnessed this. I've heard from our border agents who are under siege and overwhelmed, and it's a chaos there. And the lack of care for them. But let me talk about something that's really important. The Biden administration, using our so-called National Travel Agency, have been flying these immigrants all over the nation. They've been coming to New York and other parts of the country because they have nowhere else to put them. I didn't see any of these people crying the blues when all of a sudden all these immigrants arrived in the Westchester airport, or all these illegal immigrants arrived in my community, in my district, and we're having to pay for that and find housing for them and food for them and resources for these people. Where are they? This is not any different than what DeSantis or what Governor Abbott in Texas are doing. They're just, in a way, it's just showing what exactly, these people are saying, bring us, these immigrants. No one's considered illegal. No human is illegal. Yet all of a sudden they land in Martha's Vineyard. Oh, my goodness, we can't have all these immigrants here. We have no resources for them. And by the way, I find it really interesting that, while they tried to jump to the defense of these immigrants, these people were shipped over to the mainland of Massachusetts off of the island of the exclusive island of Martha's Vineyard. And they were basically put in a military base, which is surrounded by a fence. So now they're in pens as opposed to cages that Obama put them in. So let's be honest about it. This is what's really going on. They're in a military base because we have to secure our nation and the people that reside in our country from people we have not vetted.
Yeah, I'm glad you raised that point about the Biden administration sprinkling illegal immigrants all over the country. It is a starking example of hypocrisy because on one hand, when DeSantis does it, it's human trafficking. But when Biden does it in the dead of night, it isn't. And in fact, Deneen and I actually followed a bus from Westchester County Airport late one evening, and the bus went to a rest area in Sloatsburg, New York, on the New York State Thruway. So it is just amazing hypocrisy.
Well, I've been to that rest area on Sloatsburg because my district used to go down into the Catskills Hudson Valley. So, but they've been seeing illegal immigrants in our region. And we want to look, I am not an anti-immigrant person. I think we need legal immigration. I think we have a declining birth rate in this country. If we want to grow, we have to grow our economy, grow jobs, and get people back to work. But right now, what we're doing is the opposite of that. We're providing incentives for people to stay home and providing them people with the resources to not go to work and be independent. And then on top of that, we're incentivizing people to come across the border illegally, to take advantage of that and not coming across or coming to this country to find work, to find the American dream, and to find prosperity. We're doing the opposite, and we're creating a massive situation where people are really just, I mean, they may be good, hardworking people, but they're being told, just come on in, we've got plenty of benefits. And it's hurting our economy. That's what's making us weak. We're projecting weakness around the world, largely because our economy is weak. And that's what the United States is. We are about freedom, individual rights, but we're also about the economy. And the business of the United States is business. And when we're not thriving economically, you are seeing the results of that chaos. We're not able to care for our own people. We're not able to care for these immigrants. We have chaos around the world, as I mentioned earlier. And this is just this is cascading a disaster coming from President Biden. Honestly, I thought he can't possibly ruin the country in 4 years, but it's been less than a year. The country was on a massive downhill slide after just 1 year. And I just don't know how we're going to survive another 2 years unless we can take back the House and Senate and start holding the Biden administration accountable and putting some stopgaps in here. Because, I mean, we're on a very bad trajectory right now, and I'm very concerned about that. Economically, militarily, this woke agenda, we've really lost our way. And most Americans don't understand that we are not a straight democracy. You hear Democrats, democracy, democracy. I talk about democratic principles in Taiwan and other countries. But we are a constitutional republic that requires self-governance. That means that we need citizens who are going to not only get the benefits of citizenship, they're going to bear the responsibilities of it, which is entrepreneurship, which is getting out and working, which is providing for their families, which is, making our country and our economy vibrant again.
Yeah, that's so true. We talked about immigration in terms of everything that's going wrong so fast and how Americans are being deprived because our tax dollars are being used for folks who should not be here anyway, because they're here illegally. Where does the media come in on this? I mean, Tom and I, we follow two different buses, one to New Jersey, one to upstate New York, and we're trying to call attention to this. Where's the media? It's just the two of us. We call ourselves the two yahoos that are going out there following the bus in the dead of night.
Know, yeah, go ahead. It's unfortunate. Like the media is caught. Unfortunately, the media is caught up in, in its profit centers and what they think is going to sell. We have you and Tom and other independent media groups. We have a lot of opportunities for media, but it's very unconnected. So we don't know really what to believe and who to trust. And the mainstream media is just completely decided that they're going to be a profit center for the left and then try to portray themselves as investigative journalists. And looking away at a problem and an issue and not at least discussing it does not mean that it doesn't exist and that we have to rely on Deneen and Tom and others to go out and track this stuff down. But the art of investigative journalism, and I owned a newspaper, I was a publisher of a newspaper, is going away without the advantages that you have of social media and other ways to get this out in the forefront. But, you know, people are concerned. They don't know where to look. They don't know who to believe. And that's one of the reasons what I do as a member of Congress, and I come by this, whether it could be a fault or it could be a strength, but I was a lawyer and became a journalist and a newspaper owner. So I want to get the facts straight and the law right. And I also want to make sure everybody knows about it. And so I actually explain every vote that I take in the House of Representatives in detail. And I encourage everyone to go to every one of my social media and official platforms to find out why we voted a certain way, what the truth is, because in many cases, the media is just not going to cover it. They're not going to tell us the truth about those things. And that's one of the part that I do. But what you do in getting to the bottom of these things is really vitally important. If we're going to be self-governing, again, I can't emphasize enough going back to that. The people need to know the facts and they need to know how to solve them and who's doing that. And, you know, I'm grateful for you guys for doing that. I mean, I can't imagine who else in media would have the energy and the doggedness and the tenacity to follow around a bus up to the Sloatsburg station, Sloatsburg thruway stop. But look, that's what they should be doing. But why aren't they? That's the question, because they're in the tank with somebody, or they're protecting the administration, or they're protecting the, you know, the Albany, administration, and, you know, Kathy Hochul's horrible reign as governor right now, worse than Cuomo in New York State. And add that to Joe Biden, who's, you know, not only, obviously cognitively impaired, you know, the staff behind him and the shadow government doesn't seem to know what they're doing either. And that's why they keep projecting weakness and not really doing the job we need done for Americans and to protect Americans and American taxpayers.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the importance of the upcoming midterm elections, which are clearly crucial. It seems like every election, the stakes get higher and higher. Recently, the Democrat kind of run media then been saying and suggesting that there's not going to be a red wave and that it's actually starting to falter. What are your views of the upcoming election? What are the chances of Republicans taking the House and even the Senate?
Well, they're trying like heck to promote that narrative. I think they're doing a lot of push polls to get the results they want. So they're results-oriented polls as opposed to real polls. They're totally misinterpreting what happened in the New York special election that they keep talking about in upstate New York, where they keep saying that, the candidate that the Republican that lost because of the abortion issue, who he was a pro-choice guy running in a special election against two Democrats on the ballot the same day, but not in the same race, who are actually running for the general election against Mark Molinaro. They were running in a very expensive, highly contested Democrat primary where the Democrat who is running her entire campaign on abortion lost. And nobody's talking about that in the mainstream media because that doesn't work. Because when I do my polling and when I go door to door, and I just got off of a primary in New York State, you know what people are talking about? They're talking about the price of gas, they're talking about inflation, and they're talking about crime in New York. Our polling and our data show that abortion is probably 10th or 11th or 12th even on some of our issues. No one is talking about it. You know why? Because all the Dobbs decision did in overturning Roe versus Wade is send this to the states, and the states get to decide. And in New York, it's late-term abortion. It's the most extreme abortion state probably in the nation next to California. So that means you can have a full-term baby 5 minutes before the baby might be born, and you have a migraine headache, and you can choose to abort that baby in New York. That right is protected in New York because of the states. The Dobbs decision, the abortion case, overturning Roe versus Wade did not change a thing in New York. But the Democrats know that the economy, the price of gas, the skyrocketing crime are really the problems, and they're creating this artificial issue out of abortion, and they're ginning up their base, trying to make it look like this is a real issue. And that's what they're doing. And that's their narrative. And that's what I think their push polls are doing.
You know, interesting. Yesterday, both Deneen and I, we attended a little clam bake here in Greenwich, Connecticut. And Senator Rick Scott was there. And as you know, he runs the Senate campaign committee, to help get Republicans elected in the Senate. And he was very bullish on a lot of the Senate races, from his position at the Senate committee there, the fundraising part. So, you know, that kind of backs up your point that the people are concerned about kitchen table issues and not issues like abortion.
Yeah, it's look, crime is huge right now in New York State. So everyone talks about the crime in New York City. You know, the state with the, or the city with the highest per capita crime rate in the Northeast, it's Rochester, New York. It's upstate New York. It's not New York City. It's Rochester, which is in upstate New York. My new district kind of circles the Rochester region. People have fled Rochester because of the crime. We have a tremendous candidate running who was the former police chief, a guy named LaRon Singletary. He's running in that city to try to prevent, you know, to prevent the crime from continuing because of the terrible Democratic policies. And we're trying to stop Kathy Hochul. We're trying to come up with a response to her cashless bail, her double down on trying to let criminals out of prison, let criminals go free, and not to even have a reasonable standard. You know, we won a huge Second Amendment case. I authored the brief in conjunction with NRA in making sure that our concealed carry rights were protected. It was a New York-based case. Justice Thomas decided that decision, restoring our Second Amendment rights. I'll tell you a funny anecdote. The left-leaning Legal Aid Society in New York City actually said this was a win for civil rights, that people of all colors, all races, and all ethnicities now have their full Second Amendment rights, only to have all this rolled back by Governor Hochul to take away our Second Amendment rights. And people need to defend themselves in rural areas. You know, the police sometimes take 45, 50 minutes to get to a situation because we're not in a city. And so that's why you see the inflation, the price of gas. They've shut down our ability to explore the great resources that we have in the state, the rich Marcellus and Utica shale for natural gas. And so we have high gas prices. We have rolling brownouts we're starting to get now in upstate New York that aren't being talked about, the high crime rates, the inability to defend ourselves. And again, these are the issues that people are confronted with every day, whether it's our agricultural district and our farmers are struggling because of the price of fertilizer. All of it has to do with the war on energy that is part of the Biden administration and Kathy Hochul and the Democrats in Albany, who have already passed, by the way. We already have a Green New Deal in New York. It was passed a couple of years ago. That's in effect, and it's getting to be really bad for people in New York. That's why you see the highest out-migration of people in the entire nation is the state of New York, and it's directly because of Albany's policies and the one-party rule in Albany, which is Democrat left-wing one-party rule.
Sure. Yeah, one thing that's always frustrating is the fact that too many elected officials ignore the importance of basic electricity. I think sometimes they think, and a lot of progressives think, that electricity comes from the wall when it actually comes from power plants.
And or coal.
Or coal, right, and fossil fuel. And as we know, they closed the Indian Point nuclear facility. I'm not sure where the electricity is going to come from in New York State, and we live in the New England region, and there was a Wall Street Journal article that remarked of how high electricity prices are in New England, and one of the main reasons is they closed nuclear, they closed coal, and they're really reliant now on natural gas, but they won't allow the construction of natural gas pipelines to keep up with demand. So it's a classic case of people not thinking at all. And who suffers? The hardworking American, the fixed income people, they're the ones who suffer the most.
No, exactly. And energy is really a critical issue, not just here, but around the world. It's one of the main reasons we see this disaster in Ukraine. We see dependency on Russia and China, who, by the way, don't really care about using coal or natural gas or oil. They're doing all of that. And what people don't even know is 28% of the energy usage in the United States still comes from coal. It's still, and to say overnight or in this very, very accelerated schedule that the Democrats have put us on, that Pete Buttigieg, we've got to get us all in electric cars as soon as possible. You know, this is going to be impossible to maintain. And prosperity is dependent on good energy and reliable energy. And you're going to see people struggling without having access to reliable and affordable energy, and it's going to hit the middle and lower income people the hardest and the most, and that's already happening in New York. We already have these laws starting to come into place, and so it's a real problem. Energy is going to be critically important. Hopefully, when we take back the House, if we can, you know, at least by a decent margin, we can focus on energy issues because it's really going to make the be the deciding factor in whether we prosper or not.
Absolutely. Now, before we let you go, can you just comment on the governor's race in New York?
Yeah, I think things are looking, I got about 30 seconds to 45 seconds. I think it's looking good. The latest Trafalgar poll showed that Lee Zeldin, who is our not Republican nominee, is within striking distance, just a few points. But I think what's always very interesting is that Michael Henry, who's running against Letitia James, under the Trafalgar poll, is actually ahead of her by 1 point. Wow. And even his internal polling show he's slightly ahead or dead even. So there is real opportunity for us to finally get a statewide Republican, maybe Lee Zeldin, potentially, obviously Michael Henry. We have Paul Rodriguez running for controller. And we also have Joe Pinion running against Chuck Schumer. If we can get some energy behind these candidates, I think it'll make a real statement, and it actually will give us an opportunity to save the state of New York. So I urge everyone, get out and vote. If only upstate New York, instead of voting by 30-35%, if we would vote 40-45% of eligible voters, we'd actually take our state back from the real far left and damaging policies coming from the New York City dominated legislature in Albany. So yes, we have an opportunity. Lee's in striking distance, and Michael Henry's actually leading. So this is exciting. We'd love to retire Letitia James for sure. She is she's not helping the seniors in upstate New York. She's not helping law and order for all of us who need an attorney general's helping us in this lawless society and the crime that we're seeing. She is singularly focused on trying to take out Donald Trump and sue him and criminalize anything that she can, whether it's civil or not even a violation. So that's a real opportunity. And I encourage anyone in New York State, we have an opportunity. Please vote Republican on our statewide ticket, because I think we have a shot. And with that, I just want to tell you, I apologize for the late entry, but I've got to run because I've got another event going on right in about
Absolutely.
2 seconds here.
Yep. Well, Representative Claudia Tenney, thank you so much for joining us. We do appreciate it.
Thank you.
And,
great to be on.
Please come back, folks. That's Reigniting Liberty. And remember, everyone has a role to play. What are you doing for liberty? Until next time.
This has been Reigniting Liberty with Tom and Deneen Borelli, the truth in black and white. For exclusive video footage of these interviews, be sure to follow Deneen Borelli on Clout Hub at Deneen Borelli. And also make sure to visit DeneenBorelli.com. Follow Tom Borelli on Twitter at Tom Borelli. And follow Deneen at Deneen Borelli. Subscribe wherever you listen and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Reigniting Liberty, the truth in black and white.